We live in a cynical world. A cynical world. And we work in a business of tough competitors. You complete me. Not just as.
Just shut up. You had me at hello. You had me at hello.
I think I've got it. There we go. All right, we're back. You had me at hello. Famous, famous movie quotes. You complete me. Is marriage all about soppy romance? Is that the heart of marriage? Is that where it's at? Or is there something more to marriage? Is there something more about marriage? Does marriage mean something else? Do we even have to be married to actually feel complete? That's what I want us to look at today. Tim Keller, in The Meaning of Marriage, says this. Western culture tempts us to put our hopes in apocalyptic romance, in finding complete spiritual and emotional fulfillment in the perfect mate. One of the most widely held beliefs in our culture today is that romantic love is all important in order to have a full life, but that it almost never lasts. A related belief is that marriage should be based on romantic love. What Keller's sort of talking to here and speaking to is this idea that our culture certainly seems to present to us that one of your main goals as you sort of grow up and sort of get to your teenage years and get ready to move on into the world is to find that significant other that you're going to spend the rest of your life with until you don't love them anymore. Then you just separate and go your separate ways. And obviously there's a bit more to that, and we're going to cover that in a few weeks' time. But one of the challenges that we face is it's very much presented this idea that to be complete, you actually have to be married. But is marriage assumed in the Bible? Should we get married? Is that actually the Christian goal? Is being married the only way to be? Are we less of a person if we're not married? Now, there's different ways you might find yourself in this season. You might find yourself not married because you're younger and you haven't got to the stage where you've got married yet. You might find yourself single because you've actually been single for a long time, and actually that's been your lot in life. You've just never been married. Maybe you've had a marriage and you've lost your significant other through death or through something of that nature. And so now you find yourself single. Very different life. Or perhaps you've been in the unfortunate position where your marriage has broken down and you now find yourself in a season that you did not expect to have to face. What does the Bible have to say about marriage and being single? That's what we're looking at today. It's week 2 in our marriage series. Last week we looked at the meaning of marriage, and we talked about the idea that marriage isn't eternal, that actually marriage is only in this life, that when we go to heaven, we're actually like the angels, that marriage doesn't go into eternity. And so that means that marriage means something. It's significant in this life. But what does the Bible have to say about singleness? Because that's actually a really important thing for us to dig into. So join with me. I'll open up to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to look at a lot of what Paul says around this. A lot of people don't like Paul. They don't like what Paul has to say about this. They don't think it fits. Interestingly, this is what God has determined needs to be in the Bible. So we should probably listen to what Paul has to say. It doesn't mean we don't grapple with and sort of struggle around it. But there is some people who actually really don't like Paul's approach on this topic, but it's what's there. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25 to 28. Starting off at verse 25, says this. Now about virgins, being single. Obviously, there's not everyone who's single is a virgin, but that's the idea here. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I want to pause there for a moment because obviously it's interesting here that Paul's saying, what I'm saying is actually not from God. Kind of. It's not what Paul is saying here is, this isn't something I specifically feel God has, you know, come down and said, this is what I have to say. What he's saying here is, this is from my judgment. I believe this to be the best course of action. Now, the difference that we have from when Paul wrote this was that over time, this book, the book of Corinthians, was deemed to be scripture. It was deemed to actually be God's word, to actually be in the Bible. So though when Paul wrote this, he wasn't writing this as something where this is what God says. The fact that it is now in scripture and we've determined it to be God's will, in essence, it is actually the Lord speaking and saying this through Paul. Because of the present crisis, we'll come back to that, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Don't seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Don't look for a wife. But if you do marry, you haven't sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. So he's given some context here, and he said, because of the present crisis. Now, the present crisis they found themselves in where Christians were being persecuted. It wasn't like we face today where, you know, we're a bit on the nose in culture today. This was, if you were found to be a Christian, you were put in prison. So it's not just a little thing. It's a significant thing that was going on. And Paul was drawing their attention, saying, because of what's going on in this crisis, you're going to have a lot of focus in that area and be, you know, focused in that space. So here are some thoughts around this. But what I find interesting, and I think there's a principle that actually comes from this that is greater than just the present crisis he was talking about. There's some wisdom that I think comes through this that Paul is really wanting to bring out. And it's this, principle one from today. Being married or unmarried is not meant to be the focus of the Christian life. So what happens when you have a season of persecution, when you have something happen, it really sort of revises your vision down to what's important. When things are simple, when it's sort of go lucky and easy, you can kind of have an idea in lots of different directions. But when there's persecution, the things that really matter come to the fore. And so what Paul is saying here is, okay, if you're engaged, still get married. If you're not engaged, don't look for a partner. Wherever you find yourself, sort of stay in that season. His reason behind this is that whether you're married or not is not actually the focus of the Christian life. I think one of the gods that our culture has is that idea that you've got to find that special someone. And if you don't, that's got to be your focus. And I know, you know, I'm going back to my teenage years. When you're a teenager, it's kind of like, you know, you're looking for that partner. You're looking for who you're going to date, who you're going to go out with. Some of us, you know, travel to America for that, but that's okay. That's a different reason. But actually what Paul is wanting to remind us is actually being married or single, it's not actually the focus of the Christian faith. It's part of it and it's part of what goes on, but it's not meant to be the focus. Paul continues in verse 29 and says this, "What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn, as if they do not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world, as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away." So what's Paul doing here? He's drawing their attention to how much we get caught up in the this world stuff. We get caught up in the worries and the concerns of, you know, do I have a caravan yet? Or do I have a house yet? Or have I worked out all those things yet? And Paul's saying, this world is but a vapor. This world is not the focus. Don't worry about those things. It's a little bit like Jesus saying, you know, don't worry about what you eat or drink or what you'll wear, but seek first his kingdom. The second principle that we see in this space is that Christians, whether single or married or whatever season you find yourself in, should always live with eternity in mind. And the decisions that we make now around those things should always be with eternity in mind. And recognizing that we have but a short window. It doesn't feel like it. You talk to someone who's a bit older and they've been around for a while, it doesn't feel like, although many people say, actually, how did the years, or I look back and I see myself at 21 and I'm now 60, but we have a vapor of a short window to work with. We use this life to build the foundation for what is to come. That actually, as you get to 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 years into eternity and you look back at this world, it's going to be like, wow, that's like this much on my timeline. And yet so often we find ourselves so caught up in the concerns and the worries of what's going on now. And so Paul's wanting to say here, I want to actually limit some of your issues. I want to actually limit some of the challenges that come. That marriage is great and all, but it's not easy. It brings some challenges. And anyone here who's been married, I know that you sit there and go, yeah, that's right. Kelsey's not saying that, but that's okay. Don't look at her face right now because she might give away that I might be lying. That's what Paul is really saying is actually, it's not actually rainbows and butterflies. It's not all just happy, soppy romance. You complete me. Oh, there's actually some real challenges to be married. And so if you're going to be able to follow Jesus with all your heart, you have to realize that marriage actually complicates that. Because you can't just do what you want to do anymore. I love how Sarah and Kyle were actually, they almost modeled this exact point. When I asked them, you know, what are you hoping for in the future? It's like, well, actually, we've got different ideas about what we want. And that's marriage. If you're single, you get to do what you want. Okay, it's not quite as easy, but... but there is some reality. When you're single, you can actually just follow where you believe the Spirit is calling you. Now, obviously, there's some strength to having another because they can bring some discernment. I can think of some of the things I would have done if I was single that probably wouldn't have been in line with where God wanted me to go. But the reality is marriage doesn't always make it easier. So we have to recognize that actually sometimes being single can be a real strength. Because we're free to follow God's calling in our life. And we can live with eternity in mind. Continues on, verse 32. I would like you to be free from concern. That's what he's saying. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And that's the reality is, if you get married, you don't just get to forget that you're married, you actually need to do these things. So Paul's recognizing, don't use that as an excuse to give up on your marriage, to not do the things you need to do. You need to. That's why being single can be a benefit. Verse 34, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good. You can almost see that people are like pushing back on Paul, and he's like, I know you're not going to like to hear this, but I have to say it. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you. My goal is not to stop you doing something you love. I'm wanting you to see something that you may not see, but that you may live in a right way, in undivided devotion to the Lord. I don't say this to restrict you. I don't say this to hurt you. I don't say this to like muzzle you. I say this so that you can know if you get married, you do not get to have the same freedom to follow God. It's just part of it. So the number three principle that I think comes from this, that's complicated more so in marriage than when you're single, is that the Christian's chief concern should be for the work of the Lord. That and it fits again with what Jesus said, but seek first his kingdom, not your kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and I'll look after the rest. Paul is reminding us and helping us to see that actually in marriage, it gets a bit more complicated. And so Paul is very, very strong on advocating for Christians to remain single. Obviously, that's not been where most Christians have gone, and we'll come to that. But just a recognition that actually there's a strength to singleness. Right. Continuing on verse 36. If anyone is worried that he might be acting honorably toward the virgin he's engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He's not sinning. So Paul's not saying you're sinning if you get married. Whew, all right, there we go. We're all good. It's okay for those of you that are married here. But he's not. He's not saying you're sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man does the right thing. So really what Paul's saying, if you've got the capacity to be single, I would strongly advocate for it. If it's not something you feel you can do, you're not sinning by getting married. Just be aware that this is what that means. So then he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. Paul's a bit biased. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes. But he must belong to the Lord. I'm going to come back to that right at the end. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is. And I think that I too have the Spirit of God. I love Paul's honesty. He's right. This is how you know that Paul didn't have like an air of arrogance. He didn't write knowing he was writing the Word of God. It wasn't like, I've had this Spirit come down and this is what thus saith the Lord says to you. No, Paul's very honest and says, I think that this is what God is saying to me. That should actually be an encouragement to us. As you seek to follow God, can you say this? Not can you say, I've got a rock solid guarantee. God appeared to me in the night and said this. But just this quiet assurance. I think the Spirit of God is actually in line with what I'm saying. It's this sense of a closeness of relationship between them. So principle number four is this, and I think this is actually true of the New Testament picture. Marriage is not wrong, but singleness can actually be better. If you have the capacity to be single, if that's something that you can handle from a self-control perspective, it actually can be better. Right, Paul says that himself. He says, I wish that all would be like I and not be married. Marriage is not wrong. And the rest of the series is going to be on actually looking at, you know, issues within marriage, because most of the time, marriage is just kind of assumed and most people will pursue marriage. But I wanted to say this right up front as we look at this series. Marriage is not meant to be a significant focus of the Christian life. The ways of God are meant to be our focus. And hopefully for those of us who desire marriage, and I'll be honest, I wanted to get married. I read all these passages when I was a teenager. I was like, yeah, no, that's not for me. I'm good, thanks. But that then means you've got to recognize that what comes with that, you actually need to then prioritize things in your marriage. You need to have a good marriage. You need to work for your partner. You need to make sure you look out for them and do the things. And if you have kids and you're blessed with kids, that brings no complications whatsoever into your life. So Paul says, I just want you to know, It's not a bad thing to have a spouse. It's not a bad thing to have kids. But are you ready for what that's going to mean? And you don't know until you get there. Marriage isn't wrong. Singleness can be better. In the New Testament, marriage is not assumed. Either marriage firstly, so ever getting married, or if you find yourself in certain circumstances where marriage is no longer the case, whether that be because you've lost your spouse, they've passed away, or things have broken down. It doesn't actually have to be the end, because marriage doesn't have to be the focus. Right, this is another thing that Tim Keller says. Single adult Christians were bearing testimony that God, not family, was their hope. Single adult Christians were bearing testimony that God, not family, was their hope. That God, to use the words of the beginning, completed them. That is actually the cry of their heart. Not that their spouse or significant other completes them, but that God completes them. Remember, we talked last week that the reason marriage is temporal is because the eternal picture is that Christ marries the church. And it's a picture in this life of the eternal realities that in the end, Christ and the church are married as one and they complete each other. And we as part of the church are part of that marriage. That ultimately it's Christ that is meant to complete us. Our identity and purpose comes from our commitment to the mission of Jesus, not our marital status, not how things are going. Again, if things aren't going well, you need to actually deal in that space. You need to prioritize and work through. If you've taken the step to get married, you need to take that marriage seriously, because marriage is a picture of the eternal realities of Christ and the church. So don't hear me saying that you get to go home and just say, I don't need to care for you anymore. That's not what I'm saying. But marriage is not your identity. Someone comes and says, tell me, what's your identity? Well, I am the husband of Kelsey. I said I'm the wife of Kelsey. I'm the husband of Kelsey. Okay, that's a role that I play. Not my identity. A couple of questions that I want to go through and give some answers, a bit like last week. It's quick answers to what might be complicated questions. Are you single and happy? As much as possible, stay that way. If you're single, whether that be because you've never got married or because you've found yourself in a season where you're no longer married, and you're happy, you're content, you can handle that, that's not causing you to sin in other ways, it's not a struggle, not a temptation, all of those things. You do not need to get married to be complete. You don't need to live your life waiting for that special someone. You can actually be complete as you are now. Are you single and unhappy? It's not wrong to desire. It's not wrong to pursue marriage. Just don't let that become your identity. Don't become that person who's known as, they're just waiting for their spouse. Don't let that be what becomes what people know you as. Hope for it, desire for it, even ask prayer for it. Ask the church to pray for that person for you. Marriage is not a bad thing, but don't let that be your identity. Let your focus be on serving God and hoping and praying and looking forward to the day where He answers that prayer. Are you dating? Here's one of the main questions. We've got a whole sermon on this next week. But here's the question. Is your partner likely to help or hinder your faith? That's pretty much next week's sermon, so you can all skip next week. Pretty much that's it, though. In the dating relationship, what's the point of dating? Dating's not actually in the Bible. It's not a biblical concept. There's good reasons for it, but it's not a biblical concept. The whole purpose of dating is determining if the person you're looking at marrying is actually going to be beneficial or not in the long run. And for the Christian, that doesn't mean that they're going to be beneficial just because you love them. You've got some warm, fuzzy feelings for them. They won't be there forever. It's to discover if this person, as a Christian, is going to help my faith or hinder my faith. That's the key question you're answering. Now, you also have to at least, you know, want to be with them. So don't go and just marry someone because they're a good Christian. That's also not what we're talking about. But that's the key question. Are they going to help or hinder your faith? Are you engaged? Don't race out and go, that's it, it's off, we're done. Well, if you do that, do it gently, please. Don't just go ahead today and go and say, hey, by the way, we're not going to marry anymore. No, no. But marriage is not wrong. But keep your eyes on Jesus. And I will say, you know, I was a bit flippant there to some degree, but I will say, if you're engaged and you haven't made that commitment yet, and actually you've got questions, am I getting married just because there's some emotion there and I'm not actually sure this marriage is going to actually be a good thing for my marriage? Ask those questions before you get married. Don't get married until you are sure, yes, I'm ready for this. Are you married? Does your spouse feel loved? And is your faith strong? These are two. So once you choose to get married, these two questions you have to actually, you know, they're kind of linked together. You need the answer to both of these to be yes at all times. You need your spouse to feel loved, and you need your faith to be strong. If any time one of these questions is a no, then something is out of whack. That doesn't mean you throw the marriage away and you move on, but it does mean you have to get to the root of what's going on here. Why is my spouse not feeling loved? Am I neglecting them? Am I married to the church? This is one that pastors have to be really careful about. Is that we can hide behind the facade of, well, I'm a pastor, I'm doing the Lord's work, so my wife can be miserable. That's actually not okay. But equally, it's not okay for your marriage to be thriving, but your faith to be sinking. For your marriage to be really, really good, but you don't remember the last time you actually talked with God. Because remembering that as a Christian, it's actually our faith, it's our service of God which has the highest priority in our life. If we're married, we have to attend to the needs of our marriage. But we've got to balance those two well. I said I'd touch on this. And again, we'll touch on this a bit more in a few weeks' time. But why is it that the Bible is so clear on this? It says, is your spouse not a Christian? Now, you might have, let's say you were not married and you got married and then you became a Christian but your spouse didn't. That's kind of one case scenario. Another one, though, is that you actually chose to get married to someone who isn't a Christian. Is there hope? Of course there's hope. But anyone who sits and lives in that position will know it is really hard to have Jesus first if your spouse doesn't care for Jesus. It's really hard to actually make life choices that are in line with what you believe the Bible is calling you to do when your spouse doesn't actually have that same worldview. The reason why Paul says that is, it's kind of like earlier on he said, I don't say this to restrict you. I say this to protect you. I say this to help you to understand that though it might be okay now, there's going to come a time when that is going to really cause some tension. But here's the other thing, and I'll talk to this more in a few weeks. The Bible does say, if you are married and you're married to someone who isn't Christian, don't go and leave that marriage. Don't leave that marriage. If they're happy to stay married to you, continue to work in that marriage. Continue to love them. Continue to hope that they will come to know who Jesus is. But Paul does say elsewhere, if the non-Christian chooses to leave, you're actually not held to that marriage. Two Christians that are married together, you need to stick it out as much as you can. But if they're actually not a follower of Jesus, Paul says it, it's actually okay. If they want to stay with you, stick with it. If not, you're not held that marriage, because you're in Christ and you need to follow him. So just remember, as we talk about this, is that being single can actually be a a really positive thing. To be married is great, but to be single, to some degree, the Bible would say, can actually be better. Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray for each of us here today in whatever season of life we find ourselves in. Lord, those of us here that are single, I pray that you'd help us keep our eyes fixed on you. That you would be the author and perfecter of their faith. That you'd be helping them to live for you and to serve you in this season. Lord, for those of us here that are married, I pray that you'd be enriching our marriages, that you'd be helping us to live deeply in our marriage. That for those here who may be having some challenges in their marriage, Lord, I pray you would bring the right people around them to support and to strengthen and to bring hope. Lord, for those that are here in a good space in their marriage, may you embolden them and encourage them to step out as encouragers, to find other married couples that they might be able to bring under their wing to support and strengthen and help. And Lord, I pray for all of us that we as a church would be a place that people can come and be a part of, irrespective of where they find themselves. If they find themselves right now going through the challenges of breakup, Lord, may you help us to be bringers of hope and to be able to wrap our arms around them. Lord, if it will come to us and they're a season of strength and vitality, Lord, we look forward to seeing them be used to use that for your glory. And above all, Lord, we pray you'd help us to seek first your kingdom in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name.